Moncrief on News Talk.
You'll know probably that in the US there are a couple of facilities available where wealthy people have booked in to have their bodies, or in some cases just their heads, cryopreserved, in the hope that they can be revived at some wonderful point in the future. But one such place also exists in Europe. Dr. Emil Kenziora is co-founder of Tomorrow Bio, based in Berlin. Emil, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Are you a new company, or how long have you been in business for?
We've been around for a couple of years now, kind of a new company, at least compared to the ones that have been doing this for around 50 years in the US now. So we've been around for 5 years about.
Okay. And at the moment, how many customers do you have? As in, how many people have you cryopreserved?
So there's around now 20-something people cryopreserved, and about another, almost 1,000 signed up. They don't need to all be wealthy, right? So it's a lot of people funded via life insurance. But it's, of course, as you can see, like 20 people cryopreserved. It's 20-something by now, and about 1,000 signed up. It's still a relatively small field.
Okay, and is it just humans you've cryopreserved? Are there pets in there as well?
Yeah, there's also pets. Like, for people who, have been living with their cat for the last, 15 years. At some point, the cat or the dog becomes, for lack of a better word, they become part of the family.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, pets live significantly shorter than humans. So some people decide that they, they would like to see their cat or their dog or other pets as well again in the future.
So I assume there are a few people who perhaps their pet has died and they haven't died yet. So but the pet is frozen and they're going to go that way themselves when they die.
Yeah, of course, because, you might care about your cat or dog, right? But then again, I at least imagine that in the future there will be enough cats or dogs, right? So it, of course, makes significantly more sense if you're also around in the future. And in fact, we kind of require that if someone signs up with us or has their pet cryopreserved, that they themselves also need to be signed up.
Sure. Is it just cats and dogs that you do? Could you do any animal? Could you do a goldfish?
I mean, in theory, so we for now only have cats and dogs in cryostasis. But then again, we're not in a position to tell anybody what type of pet they want to cryopreserve. So if someone wants to say, hey, this is my favorite fish or my favorite hamster or whatever, right? And in theory, that would be feasible.
Okay. Oh, God, that's interesting. Run us through what is the procedure then. If somebody passes away, assuming they're in hospital, is the body rushed to you, or do you rush to the body?
We rush to the body, right? And in most cases, we try to not rush, right? So statistically speaking, if you're not 22 and riding a motorcycle all day long, right, then statistically people die with terminal conditions, like let it be cancer or heart disease or something like that at old age, right? Mm. So in most cases, these people are being told by their doctors that, let's say the cancer has metastasized, has spread through the body, and, they have 6 months to live.
Yeah.
Right. And if that happens, then, once it looks like the person is not doing well anymore, we send one of our teams that then, in quotation marks, just stands around in front of the hospital and waits until the attending doctors have said, we have tried everything. There's nothing we can do anymore. And then, once the person dies and the second they're being pronounced by the attending doctors, right? So cryopreservation is never done before pronouncement. It is always after pronouncement. Then we're already on site to start the procedure.
Okay. And there on site, what does the procedure consist of?
It's a combination of what would be very similar to CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Of course, in our case, not with the goal of resuscitating anybody, but to support the cells in the brain, most importantly in the brain, with oxygen, so that the degradation processes of these cells go slower. And in fact, they go slower because we, of course, start cooling. We cool down, and so the cells on the cellular level die slower, right? And the further you cool down, that dying process on a cellular level at some point stops. And before we go under 0 degrees Celsius, before we would freeze the body, right? That's why it's called cryopreservation and not freezing people, because we replace all the water and the blood in the body against a cryoprotective agent. It's basically a solution. Think of it as a medical-grade antifreeze. Yeah. It's a solution that just can't freeze. And with that solution, you can now cool down to negative, at least in our case, to negative 140 degrees.
Okay.
In most cases.
I assume that doesn't all happen in the hospital, though. Are there initial things you do in the hospital and then you get them to the facility?
So that always depends on what the hospital allows us to do, right? So some hospitals are very accommodating because, of course, it was the wish of their patient. Some hospitals, you know, they're not up for it. So we basically buy ambulances and then we retrofit them for cryopreservation. So we bring our own kind of, you know, cryopreservation in quotation marks operation room with us in these ambulances. So we can do it. We can do it all independently of any hospital. Yeah. And then people stay there until, and this is now the important part, right? Cryopreservation is not something that is proven as of yet. You know, you go into cryopreservation, but it's not yet possible. And I can't tell you when and if you can come out. I can just tell you that the chance is higher, at least in my mind, than, you know, the alternative, which would be cremation or burial.
Yeah. So they are cryopreserved in your kind of ambulance. And then where do they go then? Because as I understand, the actual facility isn't in Germany, it's in Switzerland.
It is, right. So wherever you die, you know, all over Europe, and in fact also now in the US, we pick you up. We start the procedure, most importantly, that cooling and that replacing of blood and water against that cryoprotective agent on the way to Switzerland. And then in Switzerland, you do the final cooling step to, in our case, mostly to negative 196 degrees Celsius, so extremely low temperatures. And then you are at that institute in Switzerland for however long it takes.
Yeah, and why are you in Switzerland when you're a German company?
So the organization initially was founded by people, half of them from Germany and half of them from Switzerland. And in fact, the long-term storage in Switzerland, the long-term cryo storage, is technically not with us as the company. It's with a Swiss foundation. Pretty much the argument being that since we don't know how long it might take, and it might take 100 years, right? Who knows? Companies are not really well positioned to do the same thing and stay in business for 100 years. Foundations, and especially Swiss foundations, are much better set up to have this long-term safety and stability, which is, of course, crucial for this topic.
Yeah, and at the facility in Switzerland, is there, you know, if there's a power cut or, you know, something of that nature, does it have backup systems?
Luckily, power is not relevant for storage. So even if power, you know, whatever, if there's an outage for even a day or 2 days or a week or whatever, then the temperature is being maintained with liquid nitrogen. So think of them as very large, you know, hyper insulated, you know, thermos capsules, kind of, right? They're filled with liquid nitrogen. It's just a fluid. So as long as you refill that fluid, the whole thing maintains its temperature without any electricity.
Okay.
So
they could just
no
sit
worries.
There. Yeah. So and what happens if the company goes bust? And, you know, then somebody buys the facility and wants to turn it into a car park.
So the company can go bust, right? So it's the foundation that needs to survive. Mm. And the foundation, as much as humanly possible, the foundation is set up with the, you know, the maximal security and safety and internal governance and checks and balances and so on. Whatever you can do to make something stable and everlasting was done. Of course, nothing here is a guarantee, right? Cryopreservation, right? You pick a chance. Mm. People who say, I want to rather be cryopreserved, they say, look, in my worldview, if you're being cremated or buried, that is it. I'd rather take the chance, right? And now the chance includes that there's an, you know, it might be an off chance, but there is a chance that, of course, the foundation will not survive the test of time. But whatever I can do to make it as safe as and secure I'll do.
Yeah. And now, I mean, and it's all predicated on the idea that at some point in the future, these people have been cryopreserved and animals have been cryopreserved can be reanimated. Now,
right.
Have you set out a criteria as to what the circumstances should be to reanimate them? Say, for instance, somebody's in a wheelchair and then they die and in the future reaches the point that we can reanimate that person, but they'll still be in a wheelchair. Or do you wait until whatever ailment they had can be cured as well?
We would wait. So there's three factors that would need to become true until you would bring people back from cryostasis. One, yes, you of course need to be able to reverse the procedure, and you need to do it to a similar, you know, risk profile of maybe a major operation right now. So there might be some risk, but it's mostly standard. Second point would be the person, whatever led to the person's death in the first place, let it be the cancer or the heart disease or whatever, needs to be curable. Right. So that's, of course, very important. And then last but not least, they need to have a good amount of remaining years of life left. Right. So it doesn't make sense if you revive someone who has been, you know, who is, you know, 85 and they're dying, a year after because of something else. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is in a wheelchair, we hope that would be curable in the future as well. But then again, most people who are in wheelchairs right now, you know, they would say, I might not like to be in a wheelchair, but I still have good quality of life. I still like my life.
Okay, right? So can some of your clients say, just bring me back when I can be reanimated. I don't mind if I'm still in the wheelchair.
Right. They can provide wishes, how they personally, what their preferences are.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
In the end, yeah.
Yeah, and legally, is it 100% up to the person whether they be cryopreserved or not? You can't find yourself in a legally tricky situation where their family might say, oh, no, we don't want this. We want to bury them or cremate them or whatever.
Depends a bit on the country, but in most European countries and in most Western countries, in fact, you make the decision what happens to your body.
Yeah.
Right. You decide. Of course, you can't do everything, right? There's regulation, but donating your body for cryopreservation is most in every country that I'm aware of. There might be countries where this is not possible, but most countries that I'm aware of, and the overwhelming majority, in fact, it is your decision to donate your body. And in fact, okay. Your family, if it's your decision and your family says, I don't like that, it is not up to them.
Okay.
And to be fair, I think it shouldn't be up to them. It should be up to the individual.
Have you got any Irish people either on your waiting list or actually cryopreserved?
So cryopreserved, we don't have anybody from Ireland yet, but we do have people who are signed up in Ireland.
Right. Okay. And so, and just because people would be wondering about the price, it's to sign up is how much?
Most people, when they sign up, right? So it's a 50 euro a month membership fee with us, right? Which makes sure the doctors are being kept on staff and the ambulances are being ready and so on, kind of like to keep everything on demand if something happens to you. And then at the time of cryopreservation, there is a one-time payment of 200,000 euros.
Right.
It's unfortunately still relatively expensive. The reason being, we don't know how long we need to maintain your cryostasis. So we need to put a large amount, the majority of that money is being put aside to make sure we can maintain cryopreservation.
Yeah. Well,
but
of course, it's a one-time payment. You can't go back and ask them for more.
Right. Indeed.
But of course,
most people don't pay this out of pocket, right? So we work with large life insurance companies in most cases where you take out life insurance and then, then it's, I don't know, it's 20, 30, depends on your age and how healthy you are. You know, it's 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks a month, 50 euros a month. And then, the life insurance pays out when you die and that money is being used.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Emil, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Emil Kenziora there from Tomorrow Bio in Berlin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.